guess I wouldn't exactly expect everyone to have picked up on Method in Madness from the pulpit since I first arrived, but there has been some method. Success of it, you can determine yourself. My first priority and goal in moving here was to spend a considerable amount of time helping us with our faith, coming to trust God. And that's been really the focus, the primary focus of the lessons that I have presented in the last 3.5 years. And until we come to the point that we feel secure in our relationship to God, then we won't really be able to give our whole heart and soul and mind and strength in service to God. But in the process of growing up in Christ, once we have been birthed, once we have our feet established and know who we are, and are secure in our relationship to our Heavenly Father, then there comes a time in that maturation process where it's time for us to be the giver. We have to turn the corner and not just be takers, but givers. The amazing grace of God has flowed fully and freely into our lives as Christians. By grace we have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2. No longer is our relationship to God a guess-so, hope-so, think-so mindset. But our salvation is secured by the blood of Jesus Christ and His love. And is sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1. And so I ask you to think for a moment. How did you come to know about the grace of God in your personal life? Did God appear to you? Deliver you that message himself? Is it something that you sat down and reasoned out for yourself? Or did someone share with you this incredible gospel message? For some of us who grew up in the Christian home and a Christian environment, that sharing that gospel message was over a long period of time. But for at least most of us, if not all of us, then someone shared with us this gospel message. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one whom they've not believed in? How can they believe in the name of one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Paul said in Romans 10. Someone very likely shared the gospel message with you. And therein lies the fundamentals of Christianity. We are blessed to bless others. Paul taught Timothy, and then he charged him, and the things that you've heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified also to teach others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And that word, commit or entrust to faithful men, means to give somebody responsibility for something. And so he says, the things that you've heard of me among reliable witnesses, commit that to faithful men. Give them the responsibility for sharing that gospel to others who will share it and likewise share it with others. And so the question, what had they been entrusted to do whenever Timothy discharged this responsibility that Paul had given? Well, the responsibility was to teach others. And there comes a time in our life where we have to open our mouth about the gospel. We have neighbors, we have friends, we have people around us every day that don't know the gospel. And do we make it a practice in our life of living our whole life and those people that we rub shoulders with never have the opportunity to hear the gospel? The grace that flows into our lives and brings salvation is to flow out of our lives and bring hope and help to others. The sharing of God's grace should be like a clear mountain stream, which is in constant motion and perpetual movement. The inflow generates an outflow. And such continual movement feeds other streams and tributaries, the dynamic process of receiving and giving. And day after day, this active flow continues in our lives. So it must be with the grace in and the message that we have received from God. And in contrast to this mountain stream, there's a stagnant pool, which also receives an inflow of water. And yet, because its outlets are either limited or non-existent or clogged up, the incoming water soon grows stale. The pool becomes sluggish, and no other streams or tributaries are supplied. What has been received is kept. What flows in stays in and grows stale. And so if your faith has become dull and lifeless, it is because you're not sharing it with others. As recipients of God's grace, it's essential that that flow of our lives resemble the mountain stream rather than the stagnant pool. Christianity is built on the principle of reciprocation. The word reciprocate means alternately receive and give. To respond in return for something given. Someone graciously extends a kindness to you and you reciprocate by being kind in return. Someone does you a favor and you say, I owe you one. And you act on that. And it's a common practice that enriches and strengthens relationships. And not only human relationships, but also relationships with God. And so I have asked Sonny this morning if he would to delay singing the song that we normally sing just before the lesson, and that we would get up, we would sing it now. So we're going to sing an old song, Freely, Freely. And I encourage you to participate. It's not only this reciprocation, it's not only fundamental in our relationship with God. There's a passage that I'd like to make a textual point here. It's one of those that may turn out to be something of a sacred cow for some of us. It's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, we love because He first loved us. And almost all of us, all of our life, that has been quoted, as in the King James, we love Him because He first loved us. Actually, most reliable manuscripts don't have the word Him in it. And if you go to that context, it's pretty obvious, I think, that he's talking about something more than loving God. In verse 7, if you'll look at the beginning of that context, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And he says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. And he goes on and he talks about the love that we have for others. You could drop down to verse 20. He says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And so that context is talking about loving your brother. And what that verse literally says is we love because he first loved us. And so all these years we've concentrated on we love God because he first loved us. And that's true. We do. He taught us how to love. But that's not the real point he's making here. And if that's what we focused on and focused our attitude on as we read this and trying to fulfill that scripture and respond to that scripture in our life by loving God because he first loved us, then we've gotten half the message. We do love God because he first loved us. But the message here that John is writing is we love one another because he first loved us. We love others like he loved us. And so the passage literally says we love because he first loved us. Because God has shown such incredible love toward us, we reciprocate vertically by loving God. And God tells us in this context specifically how we are to reciprocate his love. We don't just pick our own way. God told us how he wants us to love him, 1 John 5:3. This is love for God, to obey his command. And so if we truly love God, it's not just enough to lip it off. It's not just enough to sing it. It shows in our lives. we obey his commands by worshiping and praising God daily with our lives and our lips. Psalm 100 that Glenn read a few moments ago is a good example of a blessed person who recognizes the blessings that God's given him, and he looks upward to God in his response to God's goodness and grace. And as I read this again, notice the inflow and the outflow in this. The inflow of recognition of God's grace that he's given, and then consequently the outflow of blessings to others. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. There's that inflow. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And so we do love God because he first loved us. Because of all the blessings that he has poured upon us. And we also reciprocate horizontally by loving and serving one another. This same context, 1 John 4, verse 11. Since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Here, as Jesus describes his final judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, remember that he says something really interesting about the way that we are to love him and serve him. And he pictures that judgment scene. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, those who have received his blessing. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and come to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Freely you have received. Freely give. Would you really like to express your gratitude for what God has done for you? Have you ever had somebody that did so very much for you that when you got, you just craved an opportunity to show them how much you appreciated what they had done? Has that ever happened to you in your life? I hope it has. I hope it has with your parents. I hope that you have a friend who has, in time of need, come to your rescue and done something to lift you up in such a way that you just couldn't wait until the opportunity came for you to reciprocate that. We channel the blessings we have received from God to others through various types of ministry. Can you believe that God has given us the opportunity to reciprocate his blessing? Does that not thrill you? That God, after having poured out all of his love and mercy and grace on you, he tells you how he wants you to express your gratitude to him. That there is something real, there is something physical, there is something that you can get your teeth in that you can do for God. Well, this lesson is an introduction to some other lessons, hopefully, that will follow that I'm going to call the fundamentals of Christian ministry. If you haven't turned that corner in your life to ministering and serving others, it's time that you not only are the recipient of all these good things, and that we love to hear lessons about what God has done for us, and it's absolutely imperative that we do, that we get our feet on solid ground of God's grace, and that we have absolute confidence in our salvation. But a day comes when then it's time for us to be the ones who give. We have received freely, and we're to give freely. And I want to note at this point, at the very outset, something that I want you to keep in your mind through this whole series. Reciprocation does not mean repayment. There's not anything you can do to pay God back for what he's done. You can't pay God, and nothing that you can do is to be ever viewed as repayment to God, but you can express your gratitude to Him by praising Him with your lips and by sharing the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that He's given you of mercy, grace, love with others. And the Lord's church is the avenue through which we do that. It provides the foundation for that. That we can have a ministry, an area of service to others. Our spiritual father Abraham lived such a life. The first recorded words that God spoke to Abraham point to the coming of Jesus Christ. And they also demonstrate this concept of spiritual reciprocation. Notice the inflow and the outflow in the words of Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, your father's house. Go to the land I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." You see this principle of spiritual reciprocation? God said, "I'll bless you so that you will bless others. You will be a blessing to others." Grace was flowing into Abram's life, and that was to be followed by a process through which grace would flow out of his life to bless others. Grace received, grace given. Blessings received, blessings given. Love received, love given. This is a beautiful ebb and flow that God wants to see in the lives of those who receive His blessing. And He's equipped every single one of us with talents, with resources, and with opportunities to serve others. Ministry. A Christian who's not using the blessings given by God is like a baseball catcher who's behind the home plate, and he's got a catcher's mitt on both hands. And all he does is just receive the ball. And he doesn't have any means to be able to get that ball out. The balls just come in and they never go out. The song that somebody led us in just a few moments ago is taken from Jesus' words to his apostles in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, when he sent them out on that limited commission. He's instructing them about how to use the gifts that he's given them. And they don't even know. They're on a trial run. They've got gifts that they haven't tried out yet. And they're going to come back and they're going to be so excited about the things that they're able to do. And Jesus will tell them as they go out and use these blessings that he has given them, these talents that he's given them, he will say, "Freely you have received, freely give." Don't hold anything back. God, who supplies seed to the sower, is able to supply you everything you need to accomplish everything He wants accomplished in this world. You were saved, and you are being blessed to share that salvation with others and to be a blessing in the lives of others, spiritually and physically. And so our question this morning is, as we begin this series, are you the recipient of God's blessing? Has God blessed your life? Is He blessing your life? Are there blessings that are flowing into your life every day? Are you keeping those blessings? Are you storing them up like the rich fool? And saying, "Self, you work hard. Let's just see how much of this we can accumulate in a big farm somewhere, in a big bank somewhere. Let's just see how much we can all get together. And then one day we'll retire and we'll live happily ever after." Are you receiving those good blessings and gifts from